blessed in the Word of God. We'll say, God bless Sister Barlow.
Praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be back home with you all today. You guys are my family. Look at all y'all smiles. Y'all dressed all nice. Y'all look good. Praise God. So we have some printouts. Is there anybody that didn't get one of the printouts? We have a couple extra up here. If you didn't get one of the printouts, run on up here and grab one for Sister Haddock. Does anyone else need one? We are going to do some old-fashioned, just plain teaching tonight. Plain old, just teaching the Word of God and how to apply it to our lives. And today we're talking about six ways to trust God. Six ways to trust God. And you'll see that you can walk along somewhat in the sheets that I passed out to you guys and just kind of follow along, fill in. Whatever I've left on there, I felt was beneficial for you to just keep and glean from as you go on with your days. Number one is take your eyes off yourself and put them on God. Take your eyes off yourself and put them on God. So in the society that we live in, we tend to put our trust in tangible things, in things that we see in this world, the seen versus the unseen. It's more easy for us to do so. We put our trust in our jobs. We know that when we go to work, we work 2 weeks, we get a paycheck. Am I right? We put our trust in our marriages. We know that when we get married, when you go up there and you say forever, for richer, for poorer, better or worse, and you say I do, you know that you're going to have a lifetime of love when you're up there doing your vows. We put our trust in our success. When we see success in our life, we know success will open up certain doors for us. Amen? So we use the patterns that worked for us in our past to hopefully work for us in our future. And that's okay because we need to be strategic about our life. But we also have to know how to lean on God in all things. Somebody say all things. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That means a lot of us have been through things and we might have circumstances that are surrounding us. We have ups and downs, but that doesn't matter because I'm not leaning upon my own understanding. I am simply trusting the Lord. You see, things that have caused us to form thoughts and patterns of trust with people and situations in our lives makes us live the way that we live. So we look at the things that happen, and now we have a trust pattern. And we look at things that happens, and now we have a pattern for circumstances, how I deal with this. If I know that I had this circumstance before and A, B, and C happened, guess what I'm going to do? If I want A, B, and C again, I'm going to do the same thing again, right? That's how we form patterns in our life. But when we refer back to our verse, it means that we're meant to rest in God's understanding. We rest in that. You see, it's chaotic when we're trying to figure things out by ourselves. But when we rest in God's understanding, we simply know that He has the best for our life. Someone say He knows best. Praise God. So know that when you have faith and trust in Him, everything's going to work out for your good. Somebody say, for my good. Next thing, we need to take note that God has all wisdom, all wisdom. The Bible says in Romans 11:33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. God's wisdom is untraceable. God's wisdom is unfathomable. There's no way to understand the wisdom and the knowledge of God because it's so beyond and so far beyond what we can even comprehend. But sometimes trusting Him can be tough. Has anybody ever had a hard time trusting God in a hard situation? It can be tough. So each day we need to make a conscious decision to lay aside our own plans, our own expectations, and surrender to His plan. How many of you know what surrender means? when you surrender, we'll use an example. Say that you're getting arrested. You surrender your rights. You put up your hands and you say, hey, whatever you got to do to me, you got to do to me. And so that's what we're doing to God. We're saying, God, I'm lifting up my hands. Whatever you got to do in my life, you just go ahead and do that in my life. I surrender every single day unto you. And every day we have to ask ourselves, do I want my will to be done? Or do I want God's will to come to pass? Every single day we must tell ourselves, it's not my life. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I know the blood of Jesus is far more than rubies, emeralds, and diamonds, $100,000 in my bank account. The blood of Jesus has miraculous power. Praise God. So we can do this. We can have this mindset by walking in the Spirit. Somebody say walking in the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 24 and 25, it says, and they that are Christ, how many of you are Christ? How many of you belong to him? All right, so we're talking to you. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We've got to crucify this flesh every single day. How do we do that, you ask? How do we crucify the flesh? I know we talk about it. We talk about you got to crucify the flesh. You got to crucify. What does that even mean? Come on, say that aloud. You got to pray, Sister Palmer. That's right. So every single day we pray, and we need to begin by asking God to forgive us of all of our sins. Every day we must ask God to wash us with his blood, because only his blood has cleansing power over our life. Every day we've got to pray in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost, that just needs to be your lifestyle. You need to wake up. You need to touch God. You need to pray. You've got to tap into the Spirit, because the Bible talks about there's some things that we can't even articulate to God, but by groanings in the Spirit. We've got to pray in the Spirit. What is the Spirit of God? Let me just take a little pause break. It's the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is God's Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit is by evidence in speaking in other tongues. It's a gift for all of us to have. Praise God. And every day, we need to ask God to protect us, our families, and our friends, and everybody that we know. We need God's protection upon us. Prayer brings forth a covering that will keep us from satisfying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of a lie, because it beats it out of us. It's crucifying the flesh. Amen? Number two is make your petition known to God. Make your petition known to God. The definition of petition is make or present a formal request to an authority, in our case to God, with respect to a particular cause. And some synonyms are to appeal, to request, ask, call on, entreat, beg, implore, plead with, apply to, press, and urge. So when we go to God, we need to be asking, requesting, calling upon, entreating, begging, imploring, applying to, pressing, and urging God to meet our needs. We need to make petition unto him. Praise God. So other ways to trust God is with our words. Our words are powerful. The Bible says death and life lie in the power of your tongue. So your words can edify, or your words can tear you down. Your words can build up the relationships in your life, or your words can tear them apart. Your words are powerful. So with talking about words, there are many ways to pray. And I'm going to list 8 of them right now for you. The first one, we briefly talked about it, is the prayer of petition, meaning to petition or to entreat God for something that you need in your life, a healing, a financial breakthrough, a job, your children to come back. That is the prayer of petition. Number 2, intercession. Intercession, that's to plead or mediate on behalf of another person. If I know that Sister Palmer is going through something, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to God and I'm saying, God, Sister Palmer has this on her plate. God, I need you to meet her need. I need you to meet it right now. I'm standing in the gap for her and I'm making intercession for my sister. Praise God. Number three, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. This is rooted in our confidence in and on God's word. It's knowing God will answer your prayers and receiving from him. So basically, the prayer of faith, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if by faith I know that God can do a thing and we don't yet see it yet, we're still going to ask God to meet that need. Why? Because he's God. Because God can do it. Because he's able. Because he's an able God. He's a prayer answering a God. He's a God that hears what we are saying to him. Praise God. Number four, the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement is when two or more people come together and agree with one another and with the word of God that something specific will happen. That's why so many times you'll hear Pastor or Brother Haddock, they'll say, we want everybody to come together and we're going to pray over this need. It's all of us coming together in one mind, in one accord, and we are declaring that something's going to happen in agreement. We have got to agree with one another, especially in prayer. Praise God. Number five, praise and thanksgiving. We always talk about that during prayer service, praise and thanksgiving. It means giving glory and honor to God for what he has done, that's thanks, and for who he is, that is praise. We've got to thank God for what he has done in our lives. There might be ups, there might be downs, but God, I thank you anyway. I thank you, God, that you woke me up this morning. I thank you, God, for the breath of life. I thank you, God, for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you, God, for a place to lay down in, God. I thank you, God, that you protected me. Hallelujah. And then you go into praise. I praise you, God, for who you are. You are the great everlasting Father. You are the one that is and was and is to come. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the way maker. God, you make a way when there is no way. Praise and thanksgiving. Number six is binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. This is taking authority over spirits, whatever we as Christians do in his name here on earth, it will be carried through by God. Devil, you have no power over my life. Devil, you have no power over my finances. Devil, you have no power over my children. Devil, you have no power over my body. So I bind this sickness right now in the name of Jesus, and I loose it back to the pits of hell from whence it came from. There is a power, an authoritative power that dwells amongst the people of God. Hallelujah. Number seven is the prayer of repentance. This is confessing our faults to God, who will forgive us of all of our sins. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't just forgive our sins. The Bible says that he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. So many times we don't want to admit what we've done. We don't want to repent because we know it kind of makes us feel a little funny. And we think that God's going to look at us differently. But the only thing we have to do is say, God, you know what? I messed up, God. I'm so sorry. I did A, B, and C. And what he's going to do, he's going to get his blood. And he's going to cover you with his blood. He's going to remember it no more. It's all going to be gone. And now here's the thing. I have to make this point. God forgets your sins. The devil remembers your sins, and he tries to magnify them in your life. Who are you to raise your hands at church? Who are you to run the aisles at church? Who are you to show up every Sunday? Who are you acting like you're paying your tithes and dressing right? I know what you did before. And the devil is a liar. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. If he can steal your joy, if he can steal your salvation, if he can steal what God is doing in your life,
He's going to do it. But the Bible said, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And part of that abundant life is knowing that there's forgiveness for our sins. We've got to know the type of God we serve. We serve a loving God. Hallelujah. We're so blessed to be in the grace dispensation right now, the gap period that we're in right now. He's saying, I'm giving you time. I'm giving you time. But it takes repentance every day. Someone say every day. Sometimes we think in our head, you know, what do I need to repent for? I'm not lying. I'm not cheating. I'm not cussing. But you know what? There's a sin of omission. That means when you know to do something and you don't do it. For example, I know I got to pray every single day. I missed today. You know what? I should have helped that elderly lady put those things in her car. I don't feel like it right now. You know, I seen somebody's dog running down the street, and I should go help them out. I know it's simple little things, but you know to do good, and you don't do it. That's sin. So what we do is we say, God, forgive me of the sins of omission, the things that I was supposed to do. God, forgive me of the secret sins, the sins that I don't even know that I do. Repentance, repentance. Number eight, praying the word of God. Hallelujah. This is turning to scriptures into prayer, knowing that you are praying in the absolute will of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am more than a conqueror. I am who he says I am. The promises of God are for you. Open up your Bible and pray the word. Pray the word. The Bible says in Psalms 55:17, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. When are we to be praying to God? It has got to be a lifestyle of prayer. Morning, noon, and evening. I need you all day long, God, because there's circumstances and situations that I go through. And if I allow my flesh, I will fall. If I allow my flesh to lead, I will say that thing that I didn't mean to say. If I allow my flesh to lead me, that temptation might be a little bit too strong today. So every single day, morning, noon, and evening, I cry out. Why? Because he hears my voice. He hears my voice. He hears when I'm in distress, and he hears your voice. The Bible talks about our voice and our cry goes into his ear. So I love to know that when I'm talking, God hears me. Amen? Number three of the original six ways to trust God: reject the influence of the world. We've got to reject the influence of the world. You see, so many things happen in this world, and they clutter up and they filthy up our spirit, and they mess up our relationship with God. And the devil takes advantage of every opportunity he has. Public affairs, right? The racial issues that are going on. Listen, I see too many Christians getting riled up about what's going on in the news when we know all we have to do to go to God in prayer. I don't need to post on Facebook what I think. I go to God. You see, some of us need to know how to just close Facebook up and pray. Listen, Facebook causes so many issues, and we have got to learn to turn a blind eye and go to God in prayer. We've got to do it. We've got to do political issues. Close your mouth to them. Open it to God if you feel like you need to do so. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Television. The way that we look, hot topics, you know, the world wants to convey that we have a certain image that we need to look like or act like in order to be successful. That clouds us up. I'm made in the image of God. I don't need your image. The Bible says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So I don't know why you got to dress everything up, but I'm perfect just the way he made me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. You know what he's doing? He's watching you. He's walking around to see, they kind of, you know, they're a little weak in this area, so let me take note of that. They're a little weak in that area. Let me take note of that. Now they're a little weak in that area. Let me take note of that. Now let me wait for them to not pray. Let me wait for them to not be full of the Spirit. He's seeking about whom he may devour, and that's how he's doing it. He's watching, taking note, and he's waiting for you to not be prayed up. And so that's why we've got to be prayed up every single day. You know, there's also some good things that can disrupt our purpose as well and keep us from trusting God. Things that make us more rich, things that make us more popular, things that make us conceited, self-dependent, and overly successful. And what happens is, not that being successful is wrong, please hear me, but the thing that causes you to get that success, to gain that popularity, becomes the thing that you idolize. Well, if I'm doing this, people are liking me more. If I'm doing this, people are wanting more of me. Anything that blocks our calling is not of God, and we've got to evaluate it. Praise God. The Bible says in 1 John 2:16, describe them as the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So these desires, biblically speaking, are things that come forth out of the flesh when the spirit is being covered up, so to speak. In other words, our blessing can easily become stumbling blocks when we think of them as something we deserve or something that makes us more happy than when we're in the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. Moving on. Number four. We're going to skip down to number four. Number four is put God first in your life. Put God first. First in your life. It's my favorite subject to talk about, putting God first in your life. I have a quote that says, if you live for God hard, it's easy. But if you live for God easy, it's hard. So that means you got to give your all if you want it to be okay. If you're doing anything halfway, you're going to be stumbling through it the whole time. God's not just first, like the title says, but he's the center. Everything revolves around him. Hallelujah. Everything revolves around him. Your decisions, your actions, your word, your attire. You represent God. Someone point to yourself and say, I represent God. See, we've got to take an honest look at our current priorities. Reflect on your life right now to consider what factors are most determine how you choose to live. Where are you investing most of your time, your money, and your energy? Which relationships and activities do you devote yourself to every single day in great abundance? Where do you currently place God on your list of priorities? If your relationship with God is not your top priority right now, take note to yourself, what changes do I need to make in order to get him there? You see, putting God first does not come by accident. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh lusteth, or it wars. It wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one and to another, so that you cannot do the things you want to do. I want to pray, but my flesh and my spirit are fighting. I want to read my Bible, but my flesh and my spirit are fighting. And let me tell you who's going to win. The one that you pour the most into. So if you pour into the spirit more than you pour into flesh, the spirit's always going to win. But if you're feeding off the worldly things and not really pouring in the spirit, the flesh is going to always win. Your flesh does not want to prioritize God. Your flesh does not want to walk in the spirit. Your flesh does not want to change so that God can be the center of your life. So you have to have a made-up mind. No matter what it takes, I choose to serve God with my entire life, period. I want to hit this, and I don't want to skip over this. I'm going to take my time. Giving is another way to put God first. It's absolutely spiritual. It's absolutely in the Word of God. Give God your first fruits for kingdom advancement. We've got to be about the kingdom. We have got to be about the kingdom.
The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Have you ever heard the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? Right? You put your money where your mouth is. It reminds me of that Bible verse in Malachi 3 and 10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Let me pause right there. The Lord gave me revelation about this, and I've been talking about this thing. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And so you find people that are saying, you know what? I'm not getting fed in the house of God. I don't feel like I'm receiving anything from the house of God. Are you bringing your tithes to the storehouse so there might be meat in his house? If you want to grow, you've got to sow. And here's the thing. You really try to pull from what you're investing in. If you start a new job, a new business opportunity, or whatever it is, and you have to pay that $199.99, you're going to do everything that you can to receive and to glean from that business. Same thing with the kingdom of God. When you sow into the kingdom, you're saying, I believe in this, and I'm going to do everything I can to pull out of this church what I've got to have. Hallelujah. So bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now. God is challenging us. He called you out. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God wants to bless some people, but you're not being blessed because you're not pouring into the kingdom of God. If we can trust God with the first of our increase, we are truly showing him how much we depend on him. Handing over the first part of our paycheck, that's a huge thing to do. It's a step of faith. But we've got to walk by faith. Hallelujah. I believe, well, the Bible says that in Philippians 4:13, it says, God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So we can depend on our 10%. Or we can depend on his riches and glory. We could depend on that little $300 extra dollars or whatever it is in your life. Or we could depend on his riches and glory. I don't know about you. God, I'm going to put my tithes in the storehouse so that I can depend on your riches and glory. I want my vat to overflow. I want blessings to flow in my life. This is biblical. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. Number five. Check yourself by God's word. Check yourself by God's word. Now, if I'm arguing with my husband or with anybody, the only way that I'm really convicted, if the Lord shows me or if he shows me or somebody shows me in the word of God that I'm wrong, if I'm trying to prove that point and I'll be minding my own business, like, I knew I was right. I knew it. Let me see your Bible. Where's your Bible? Is there a Bible over there? I knew that I was right. And then I'm just casually reading my Bible, and I'm reading it, and boom, God says, read that, though. And I'm like, oh, I'm just minding my business, God. We're not even arguing anymore. But we've got to check ourselves by the word of God. If you're wrong, you're wrong, and the word of God will show you when you're wrong. Let's keep it real, y'all. We're not so good at evaluating ourselves, right? We go to great lengths to excuse our behavior and our actions and our sins. And nobody, we don't even need a defense attorney because we're so good at doing it for ourselves. The prophet Jeremiah captures this so well. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And see, here's the thing. The world says, let your heart lead you. Let your heart guide you. Your heart knows what's best. But the Bible says, let the word of God lead you. We need to call a spade a spade. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. But the way we measure it is by the word of God. Amen?
The Word of God has promises, and it also has discipline and rebuke. And we've got to be able to receive that as well. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke." Discipline and rebuke are in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. So if we got to be disciplined, if we got to rebuked, did I say it right? Yeah, the baby, it's a boy. Anyway, if we have to be rebuked, it is absolutely biblical. How do we cover ourselves? How do we keep ourselves in a place where we don't have to be rebuked? The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 11, everybody write this down. Everybody highlight it. It says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." We've got to hide the word of God in our hearts and we will not sin. What's in you comes out of you. And if the word is in you, it's going to come out of you. He'll use the word to get us back in shape. Number six, and we're going to be wrapping up. Praise God. Number six, heed to the Spirit of God. Heed to the Spirit of God. When Jesus promised to send his Spirit back to the church, he told his disciples that the Counselor would be waiting, which is our spiritual compass or our GPS. The Bible says in John 14:26, it says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Jesus is saying this, and this is a wonder scripture right here. Jesus saying that God's going to send the Holy Spirit back in my name. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? Shout it out loud. What's his name? Jesus. According to this scripture, Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Moving on. "Whom the Father will send in my name, which will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So as we go through our day, the Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit will guide us in everything that we do. So this means we are not doing life alone. You might feel alone, but you're never lonely because God is only a whisper away. He's just a cry away. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost to live right. Someone say to live right. You see, when you're trying to walk in the flesh to live right, it's like an uphill. You're trying to climb uphill, and there's like oil all around it, and you're slipping back down, and you get a little momentum, and you're slipping back down, and you're never going to win that way. And so that's why Galatians 5:16 says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." So how do we do it? We do it by not getting into the pit of sin and the first time, by walking by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. The flesh can never win if you're walking in the Spirit. And I said this about a year ago in a Bible study, but I felt to say it again tonight. If you're truly walking in the Spirit, if you're truly full of the Spirit of God, there is no room to harbor hate, bitterness, unbelief, shame, depression, or hatred, or anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. You've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Depression cannot exist in a Holy Ghost-filled believer's life. We've got to pray in the Spirit. This is a hard saying, but it's a true saying. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 15:4 in the NLT, it says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is not served from the vine." Hallelujah. "And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." We will never be fruitful. We will never have sustaining success if we don't abide, if we don't remain inside of the Lord, because the fruit comes from the vine. So we've got to abide in him. Hallelujah. If we can stand up right here. Well, let's stand up for just a moment. And if Brother Haddock can play some light music, praise God. If we truly want to trust God, produce fruit, and be an overcomer in our lives, if you truly want to live a lifestyle that's pleasing unto God, if you truly want to do what the Word of God says, we've got to walk in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says that worship is only done in the spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we're just going to take a few minutes tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's start by repenting of our sins tonight. Lord Jesus, we ask you today, God, to forgive us of all of our sins, oh God. If we have not trusted you, God, with our lives, we ask you, oh God, to forgive us, oh God. If there be anything inside of us, oh God, that doesn't line up with your word, we ask you, God, to forgive us, God. And now, God, we ask you to wash us with your blood, wash us from guilt and shame, so that we can boldly approach the throne room of grace. Let's begin to cry out to God today. Let's begin to worship God in the spirit. If you're a Holy Ghost filled believer, let the spirit of God flow from you. Worship is the way that battles are won. Worship is the way we overcome in life. We've got to worship Jesus. We've got to worship Jesus. We've got to be in his presence. Hallelujah. Worship gives you the strength to bind the devil. Oh, we worship you. Come on, Lord. We're going to push. We're going to press. We're getting into his presence, God. It's all about you. Somebody call out his name today. Somebody call out his name today. Call Jesus. Worship God in the spirit. Worship God in the spirit. He's right here. Your prayer and your worship is going to his ear. This is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. He desires your worship. He desires your worship. Lift up holy hands and surrender unto him.
And when we fall down on our knees, for when we lift our hands and say, you're all I need, just call out his name, Jesus. Call out his name, Jesus. Call out his name, Jesus. And he will come to you, yes. Call out his name, come on. Call out his name, call out his name, and he will come to you. Shout out his name.
For a second,
you are
and I mean no disrespect to anybody crying and weeping. We're in the presence of God, and when God's Spirit is moving that way, you feel that urge. But I just want to tell you, you heard a word of empowerment. There should be joy. You should be thanking God that there's tools and equipment that you have to say, I can win. If I take my eyes off myself and get my eyes off on God, if I make my petitions known to God, if I got problems that I'm dealing with, hey, we got an answer, guys. We got a God that if we know that I got something that I can bring before God, He hears me. He's limitless. Praise God. And the tears of joy flows that I'm not by myself, that I can trust God. You hear what I'm telling you? So I want us to close out with praise and worship, with hallelujahs. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise your name. I trust, oh God, in the word that you've given me tonight. And I rejoice in the God of my salvation, that I can be equipped with the word of God. I know what it looks like to praise you. I know what it looks like to trust you. I know what it means to bring petitions to you. I can reject with all confidence, oh God, the influences of the world. I've been empowered. I don't have to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways, God, I can acknowledge you. God, I'm excited. I can put you first in my life, and so long as you are first in my life, I am more than a conqueror. Come on, rejoice.